Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, good morning, and so glad you tuned in with us this morning. I will be bringing a message this morning from 2 Timothy 1 through 7, and I begin reading at the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recalled your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I just want to share some things with you today, this morning, and some things that Paul is sharing with Timothy, which is his son in the gospel. And Paul first wanted to remind him of the sincere faith or the genuineness of Timothy's faith. So when we begin to read this, we can see how Timothy had a good foundation from his grandmother and his mother, which imparted into him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was strong in that faith that was taught to him even from a child. So as we begin to look at this scripture, I just want to encourage you because, you know, what Paul is doing, he's reminding Timothy of the things that are on the inside of him that God has deposited within him. Number one is faith, a sincere faith or a genuine faith. You know, and then he goes on into verse 6, for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh. One translation said, stir up the gift of God. And this gift that God gives is a gift by grace. But Paul is sharing with Timothy here to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in him, that he received through the laying on of hands. And I just want to kind of just break this down and just talk to you for a little bit here about, you know, rekindling the fire, you know, the passion, the zeal, a zeal according to knowledge, not just a zeal without knowledge, but a zeal and a passion according to knowledge. And when you hear what Paul is saying, it rekindled our afresh the gift of God. What Paul is really saying is that stir up the gift of God, fan the flame, cause the flames to begin to burn even fuller and higher within you. So what Paul is encouraging Timothy to do here is to fan the fire. In other words, just stir up the gift of God, that passion and that zeal in serving God. You know, as I read this, I'm reminded of David in the Psalm, I think it's Psalm 51, when he began to say, you know, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know, and if any time that we need to be full of the joy is now, because of what's going on with the pandemic and the COVID and all these things that are going on, I just want to encourage you and remind you what's on the inside of you. Yeah, we quote a scripture that says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But we need to understand that we need to stir up this gift within us. And as we begin to stir up the gift of God, as we begin to fan the flame of God, you know, we'll begin to have that passion renewed within us. Because now in a day and time that we're living in, you know, there's a lot of fear and a lot of intimidation, a lot of things that's trying to divide us, trying to bring us away from the faith that was presented to us. But we don't have to let go of our faith. We don't have to let go, and we don't have to fear. We don't have to be cowards. We don't have to run from what's going on in this earth today. Really, Jesus had already warned us about these times that will come, how men's heart will fail them because of what's coming on the fear of men's heart will begin, it will cause them to begin to fail them because of the fear that's coming on the earth. But we don't have to be afraid. And I just want to share some scriptures with you to encourage you why, you know, that we can have full confidence in Jesus Christ, you know. And then Paul began to share with Timothy about the sincere faith, his genuineness of faith. How do we stir up the faith of God? I just want to read a scripture. I think it's in Jude. I think it's one chapter in Jude, so it'd be easy to find that. Let me get this right quick here for you. This just dropped in my spirit as I was coming up the road today, and I was just thinking on this. But it's in verse 20. It says, "But you, beloved, build up yourselves in your most holy faith." And how do we build ourselves up in the faith? We get in the Word of God. And that word begins to stir us up. That word begins to build us up spiritually. Sometimes we don't even feel when we're reading the Word of God that it's working for us. But by faith, we're building ourselves up in the Word of God, okay? Let's look on. The next, what else Paul is saying here. He says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith." The Bible teaches us that faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Really, it's a word that means rhema. Other words, a revealed word, a word that God has breathed through his spirit into your spirit that caused that word to come alive within you, okay? And then Paul goes on, and then he goes on to say in Jude, excuse me, I said Paul, but in Jude, he says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Then he goes on to say, praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul in Corinthians says that when a man or woman pray in the Spirit, we speak mysteries, but at the same time, we're building ourselves up. So we need the Word of God. We need the Spirit of God. We pray in the Spirit. And when we pray in the Spirit, our understanding is unfruitful because we're speaking mysteries. So Paul has given us some illustrations how to fan the fire, how to begin to kindle that fire within us. Sometimes we go through things and seem like our fires begin to get a little dim. But, you know, growing up, you know, and building fires, you know, sometimes you got to put some kindle on that fire, put some kindling on that fire so it begins to burn even brighter. So we need the Word of God. We study the Word of God because the Bible says faith come by hearing, and that hearing is a repeated hearing, okay? And then he goes on to say, and praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Spirit. So when we pray in the Spirit, Paul said, I will pray with the understanding, and I will also pray with the Spirit. Many a times, you know, sometimes when we pray in the understanding, sometimes we can run out of words to say. But when we begin to use our prayer language, many a times we'll speak in mysteries, but we're being edified by the Spirit of God. Okay, and that's just another way that we begin to build ourselves up, what Paul is telling Timothy here, to fan the flame, to make it a full flame, make it a brighter flame, okay? And notice what he says here. He says, God's gifts must be used if we are to reach and maintain that full potential. This is a side note. If we're going to maintain that the potential of God, we need to begin to stir up the gift of God by using our gifts, amen, to glorify God and begin to exalt each other. So that's what Paul is telling Timothy, and he's encouraging Timothy here. I just want to read a scripture to you here. Let's look in 1 Timothy. 4:14, it says, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance with the laying on of the hands by the presbytery. So what Paul is saying here to Timothy, he's encouraging Timothy, you know, and I believe what it is, that what the reason Paul is encouraging Timothy so is because of what's going to come upon the earth. So Paul is preparing Timothy and he's equipping Timothy to stir up the gift of God, to not neglect the gift of God. Amen. And sometimes we have prophetic words that have been spoken over us. And sometimes when they haven't came to pass immediately, sometimes we lose focus. Sometimes we lose that word that was spoken to us prophetically. But we can begin to take that word, that prophetic word, and begin to do warfare with that word and begin to declare what God has said to us and begin to build ourselves up in what God has spoken over us. You know, and Paul is telling Timothy, take this attitude, stir up that fire. Amen. So as we look at that, as we stir up the fire, I just want to give you a few scriptures here. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9 reads like this. It says, but if I say I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones. So in other words, what Jeremiah is saying here, if I be quiet, if I don't preach, if I don't begin to speak what thus saith the Lord, you know, this thing will begin like, become like fire shut up in my bones. Notice he goes on to say, then in my heart, it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones. The passion and the zeal to be used by God, the excitement of being used by God. Every time, you know, I get a chance to either teach or preach, you know, I mean, that's where I just get excited. It's just something about the anointing of God that just caused me to have a passion and a zeal for God to just want to be used by him. And that's what Paul is sharing with Timothy in the scripture is, you know, keep fanning the flame, keep fanning the flame, keep praying, keep studying the word of God, keep feeding on the word of God. Because the word says, even in the prayer that Jesus gave us an illustration, he said, give us what? This, our daily bread. We need a daily bread, a fresh word from God in this hour that we're living in. Amen. Let me go on and finish reading this. He said, it's like fire shut up in my bones and I am not wearied. Let's see. Then in my heart, it will become like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I am not wearied of holding it in and I cannot endure it. Other words, I can't hold back, amen, this burning fire that's on the inside of us. Amen. That's on the inside of him and that's on the inside of us. Amen. That the fire of God begin to burn within us. Amen. That passion of God. Hebrews 1:7 says, and of his angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. You know, and that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be on fire for him. Amen. And be zealous for the things of God. Amen. Committed to the house of God and gleaning and learning all we can so that we can prepare ourselves for what's taking place in this land. You know, yes, we can be this thing that's going on in the land. Yes, we can be fearful. But how many know that out there that God has not given us a spirit of fear? And Paul is leading into this. I know most of the time we only quote the verse, you know, he's not given us a spirit of fear. But I believe that if we take the full counsel of this scripture and this chapter here, we'll begin to see that Paul is preparing Timothy and he's encouraging Timothy and he's reminding Timothy of what to do here. Because there are going to come some times that, you know, that people will despise his youth. But Paul said, don't worry about that. Just keep on fanning the fire. Amen. People will do things. People will say things, but keep yourself on fire for God because God is on the inside of you and he is a fire. Amen. That burns within all of us. Amen. Oh, amen. Thank the Lord. And let's look at this. Another scripture where he says, for this reason, I remind you. Other words, Paul is reminding Timothy, and I want to remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God. Amen. To kindle afresh the gift of God, that grace gift that God is giving us, the Holy Spirit that God is giving us. Amen. That it is a gift from God. It's nothing that we have to work for, but we need to be consistent in the things of God so that we can grow and mature. Amen. And begin to experience God in a deeper way. He wants to reveal himself to us, but we have to make ourselves ready for him. We're not working for this, but we're responding to what the word of God is saying to us so that we can be a fire, people that are on fire for the Lord. And I'm not talking about a fire, you know, we get emotions and shout, oh, that's good. But I'm talking about a fire when no one else is around, that passion that draws you to the word of God, that draws you to the prayer room, that draws you to intercede for those that are sick and those that are being afflicted by this COVID, you know, praying for them and interceding for them. That passion, amen, to intercede for God's people and those that are lost also interceding for them that they come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Let me slow down here just a little bit and let's look at verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So I just want to share some things about the fear, what he's talking about. He's not given us a spirit to shrink back or a spirit of cowardness, you know, but he's given us a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. In Genesis 26 and 4, God is beginning to speak to Isaac here. And many a times, you know, when we read the word of God and we begin to see that God is speaking to his people, many a times they're going through some things. Right here, when we read this scripture in Genesis 26, I think Isaac is facing a famine. This is another famine that's taking place. But listen what the Lord began to say to him, like Paul is encouraging us and Paul is encouraging Timothy. You know, listen what God is saying to Isaac here. The Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father, Abraham. Do not fear. Do not fear. I am with you and I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant, Abraham. And notice this kind of coincides with what Paul said to Timothy when he said that, you know, you were taught the scriptures from your grandmother and your mother. Amen. That the ancestors, amen, his ancestors taught him the word of God. And here again, we see God saying that Abraham, the father of Isaac, how that he will remember the blessing that he spoke to Abraham and Isaac get to be a part of it. Amen. Let's go on a little further here, okay? Let's look in Psalms 23, verse 4. This is David. This is a familiar scripture with us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And notice what we're seeing here. God is with us. You know, if we go back when Jesus first came into the earth, the Bible said his name shall be called who? Emmanuel, God with us. And this is a confidence that I have in this season, and I encourage you to have, is God is with us. Amen. He will not forsake us. Jesus promised in the word of God, he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. He is with us when we're up. He's with us when it seems like things are down. He's with us through this COVID virus and through all this pandemic. God is not forsaking us. He's not turning his back on us. So I want to encourage you today that realize God is with you. He's with you. And David says, thy rod, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, when we read this in the Old Testament, David is using the rod and staff that comfort him. But God has given us his spirit to comfort us on the inside. And he said, I will never leave you. When the comforter comes, he's with you. He's abiding on the inside of you. Sometimes you might not feel him like you think you should, but he's there. Amen. And if you begin to stir up the gift of God, you know, he'll begin to leap up on the inside of you and you'll begin to sense the very presence of God. Amen. So let's go on a little further here in Psalms 27, verse 1. It said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Who is that shall I be afraid of? The Lord is the defense of my life. Of whom shall I dread?" So listen what we're saying here. I'm just giving you some scriptures here to just kind of build your faith to realize that God is with you. We don't have to be afraid. The number one reason we don't have to be afraid because we don't have a spirit of fear, but we have a spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. But I have one other scripture for you here. This is in Isaiah 41 and verse 10. It says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxiously looking about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And that's the promise of God. He's going to be with us. He's going to be with us to do what? To strengthen us. He's going to be there, amen, to help us through this season that we're going through right now with the pandemic. God is with us. Amen. Let's look to him. Okay, and then Paul said that we covered the spirit, you know, of fear. But listen what he said, "But God has not given us that spirit of fear, but God has given us a spirit of power." Now, I want to just kind of break this down and expound on this word power for a little bit here, because what this word really means, it means being able, capable, the ability, or one who has an ability. You know, and when we begin to see this, the Word of God, and we look at that, God has given us the ability not to be fearful. He's given us the ability, amen, the power to not be fearful. God is with us. We read it through other scriptures here. God is with us, amen, and we have a promise that he won't forsake us. Notice what Jesus said in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. It says, "And behold, I am sending forth my promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Amen. That's what he's saying, that we will be clothed with power from on high. God's power is on the inside of us. That dunamis power, amen, that dynamite power is on the inside of us. The ability of God. We can't do this through the flesh. And I realize that, and I've come to the realization that I cannot accomplish this in my flesh. But when I read the Word of God and I see what God is saying, you know, his spirit is the enabling power. Amen. Grace. His grace is with us. And that grace, what he's giving us, is the endowment power of God. It is the divine influence upon our hearts. Amen. And the power of God is on the inside of us to help us to live victorious life in a crooked and a perverse world. Amen. God has made us light. He's made us salt in this earth. Amen. God has given us everything that we need, but we must grow up and mature in it because God has given us his spirit. Acts 1 and verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost parts of the earth." Notice what it said. You will receive power. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have received power. Now, I like what our pastor, he shared with us years ago. I heard him teaching on this, you know, and he was saying that he's on the inside for me, but he come upon me for others. Other words, when the Holy Spirit come upon us to minister, he's there to break yokes. He's there to set the captives free. He's there to heal the blinded eyes. He's there to heal the sick. Amen. When he come upon us, it's ministry that the Holy Spirit want to do. He just don't want to give us a good time and a good feeling, but he come upon us for ministry. And that's the power of God that will destroy the yokes, amen, that the enemy want to put on us. So what we have to understand here, that when the power of God, when the Holy Spirit come upon us, Amen. It's for us to ministry and carry out the ministry that the Holy Spirit has given us, or an assignment that he's giving us. And he's on the inside for me to have victorious life. Amen. I just don't want to have life, amen, just when I come to church. But it's an everyday process. It's an everyday life. It's an everyday gleaning and looking to God, amen, for the Holy Spirit to manifest himself through me and making me aware of every opportunity to share the good news to those that don't know the good news. Amen. So what we got to look at here is that Jesus is saying in his word that we receive power, the ability of God, amen, that's on the inside of you. I'm not saying that you are God or you are this, but I'm just saying the Spirit of God is on the inside of you. That same Spirit that was in Christ is on the inside of us, amen. That resurrection power is on the inside of you. And how many know that when we begin to look to the Holy Spirit, he's the revealer of the scriptures, amen. He the one that makes the word of God come alive on the inside of us and come alive off the pages. Amen. So we're just encouraging you to remember that the power of God is on the inside of you. Amen. He's just not around us, but he's on the inside of us. Where we go, he goes. Amen. So Paul is saying that he's given us a spirit of power, not fear, but of power. And then he goes on and say, love. And what he's talking about here, that the love of God, amen, the agape, the love of God, a charity love, meaning a benevolence love. A benevolence love, however, is not shown by doing what the person loved desires, but what the one who loves deemed as needed by the one loved. Amen. We're just not out here saying, you know, throwing love around, you know, but we're talking about the agape love, the love that's on the inside of us, that came on the inside of us when we received Christ. Amen. He came in the inside of us through the Holy Spirit, and we're able to love people. Amen. Even when they do us wrong, even when they may lie on you, know it don't feel good when they lie on you. You know it don't feel good when they talk about you, but there's a love on the inside of you that's greater than that. Even Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples, amen, that he taught them, he said, you know, it's easy for those to love those who love them, but I say unto you, love your enemies, amen, those that despitefully use you, pray for them, amen, those that will talk about you and say all kind of harm about you, saying, you know, that person is not right. Don't take it personal, amen, but begin to let the love of God rise up on the inside of you, amen, and give the person what's needed. They don't need to be cussed out by us, but they need to be loved by us, amen. So we have the ability to love people in spite of what they do to us or what they say to us, only because Christ is on the inside of us. And I just want to give you another definition here of that. He said, for God so loved the world that he did what he gave. What did he give? He didn't give man what they wanted, but he gave man what they needed, and that was forgiveness. The Bible said that in the Word of God, John 3:16 is a familiar scripture, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse 17 said, he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. So God is for us and not against us. And when God gave his best for us, his love for us, it wasn't what we wanted. It wasn't what we deserved. But God gave it to us because he knew our condition. And he knew that we were doomed for hell. But he wanted his family in heaven. So he gave his Son. And his Son gave his life so that we would have life. And not only life, but have life more abundantly. This is the love of God, amen? And it's been shed abroad in our hearts. According to Romans 5:5, it says this, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See, it was given to us by the Holy Spirit. you know. And I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit is in us. God gave us his best. He gave us the same spirit that was in Christ is now on the inside of us, so that we'll be able to live victorious in this world. Amen. That this world will not take us down, but we will begin to arise up. Amen. And we have to renew our minds in this word of God. That's what Paul said in Romans 12, 2, said, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that transformance is a continual thing. The renewing, it's an ongoing renewing our minds to the truth of God's word and coming out of the lie of the enemy, because the enemy want to lie to us and say, well, you can't love people. Yeah, we can love people because love has been put in us by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's look in Galatians for a second here. Chapter 5 and verse 22. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Amen. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. And what we have to understand, we have the Spirit of God, and the character or the fruit of God is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And it goes on, gentleness. There's a good word here, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Amen. So what we have to understand is love has been put in us. And I thank God that I'm able to love people out of a pure heart, amen, because God has placed his love on the inside of me. And I'm not being influenced by what people say. I'm being influenced by this world. I'm being influenced by the Holy Spirit, amen. And I'm going to fan that fire, amen, that he will burn even brighter on the inside of me. Thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit being on the inside of us. The enabling power of God down on the inside of each of us, amen, that are believers. I like this scripture in 1 John 4 and 18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Now, that word perfect don't mean that we have it all together, but it's a word that means maturity. You know, maturity. We're growing, amen, and we're all on different levels, but we're growing. God's aim is to bring us to maturity, to where we become sons and daughters of God, and we begin to carry out the plan of God in this earth, amen, because we are sons and daughters of God. So we have need of maturity. We need to grow up in these things, amen, so the Holy Spirit can make us aware of who we are, what we have in him, and what he can do through us. Amen? But notice what it says here, that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment. Punishment. So we have to mature in our love. God is not after us. Amen? You know, as a child, you know, we were told, you know, if you mess up, God is angry at you. God is going to get you and all these things to instill fear within us. But how many know he's a loving father? He's for us, and he is wanting to bring us into maturity so that we will begin to rest even more in the promises of God and the things that he has prepared for us. Amen. On this side, we know when we get to heaven, yes, we're going to have all this golden, the streaks of gold and all these things. But how many know we need victory in this earth? Amen. We need to be able to walk in power in this earth, in this corrupt world. Amen. So God has made it available for us. So he goes on to say, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfect or mature in love. And listen what the word of God says here in verse 19. It says, we love because he first loved us. And this is one of the characteristics that Jesus said, the world will know that you are my disciples is for the love that you have for one another. And we're living in a day and time that they're trying to divide us, trying to get us to be against this one and this one against this one. Come on, let's just be real with it. You know, people are playing the race card and you know, the white supremacists, all these things that are going on in the world today. You know, come on, we got to grow up and mature, and not let the world begin to squeeze us into its mold to squeeze us. Our culture itself is trying to squeeze us into its mold. Why? Because, see, what we have to understand is that they're trying to divide the truth. They're trying to divide the church. They're trying to divide families, you know, and all these things. They're attacking our children in school, our innocent children. They're trying to instill in them hate and division, you know. So the Word of God teaches us, though, that a kingdom divided cannot stand. So as a church, we got to rise up and begin to rally together. Amen. We might have our differences here and there, but we can agree on one thing, and that's the love of God and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus is the one that died for our sins. We know that he shed his blood so that we will have this power available for us on the inside that we're talking about today. So let's go. Let's get up, church, and not allow this culture to squeeze us and divide us and separate us to the place to where we're after each other. Come on, we're supposed to be light bearers. We're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be loving people. Amen. And that's what God wants us to be. Amen. Because Jesus had to go through it. And guess what? It's no strange thing that we're going through some of the same thing that he was confronted with. But Jesus endured. Amen. He endured because he knew that there was a family that he was dying from. And thank God we're part of the family of God. We're not black and white and all these things that people are trying to stereotype and put on us. But how many know we are sons and daughters of the living God? Amen. We are sons and daughters of the living God. We just happen to have, you know, a pigment of skin might be light, black, white, Hispanic, Puerto Rican. It doesn't matter. Africans, it don't matter. Jesus died for the human race. Amen. And God loves the human race. And we need to love God's creation enough to bring redemption. Amen. And reconciliation. And I know the world don't want to hear that, but how many know we are not of the world? Amen. So I'm not worried about what the world is doing. I'm worried about what God is saying. Amen. In this hour, I'm not even worried about what God is saying. Let me rephrase that. But I'm listening what the Holy Spirit, what God is saying, what God is saying to do. Amen. I'm looking for my assignment from God. Amen. And that's what we have to be focused on, because what we focus on, that's what we'll become. And we don't need to focus on fear. We don't need to be focused on all this division and strife that the world and this culture is trying to shove down our throat, but we got to stand for the truth. Amen. Because how many know that it is the truth that set people free? Amen. It is the truth that make us free. Amen. And the Bible said, if the truth set you free, you should be free indeed. Amen. So we just thank God for that. The last thing I want to share with you, the sound mind. As Paul said, he's encouraging Timothy to understand and not to neglect the gift of God, the grace gift that God is giving him. He's encouraging Timothy. He's reminding Timothy about this gift. So that's what I'm doing today. I'm reminding you that we do not have the spirit of fear, but of love and power. And we're closing out with this, the sound mind. Are a disciplined mind. A sound mind is this, one of a sobered mind, a sober mind, a mind that is well balanced and understands the right influence. In other words, I'm able to articulate the right influence. I'm not drunk with this world, amen? And I know that people say, well, you can't be drunk on this world, but you can be drunk with the curves of this life, amen, to where, you know, you can't even make a sound decision. And the Bible tells us in James that a double-minded man is what? He's unstable in all his ways. So we have to understand, church, that we have to be a sober-minded person, amen, understanding the right influence. Amen, that's taking place, because, you know, people nowadays are calling right evil and evil right and all these things, you know, good and good is all these things that are going on. But how many know that God is a righteous God, and not only righteous, but he is a just God. And we need to begin to discipline ourselves to the place to where we are able to make sound decisions, amen, and not be confused. I don't know what to do, amen. Yes, I know what to do. Look to God, look to Him, amen. Cry out to Him. That's what I know to do, amen. Like David said, I will look unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, and that's who I'm looking at this day. That's who I'm looking to this day, amen, because I know He has the answer. So many times we look for the political world to have all the answers, and thank God that we do have some good people here and there, but how many know that God has the answer, amen? God has the answer to these situations, amen, and we have to look to Him, and God is wanting to gain influence in the political realm, in the education realm, you know, in the Hollywood realm. God want to have influence, but He have to have a person, a body to operate in. And that's where the church, we have to rise up and allow Him to use us and become sound-minded, amen, a disciplined person. I want to give you another definition of a sound-minded person, amen. It says, being able to make sound decisions or judgments. You know, and how many know we're living in a time now, you know, we have to make some sound decisions, you know, for what we're living in now. There's so much chaotic stuff going on to where we need to be able to make sound decisions and judgments. Amen. You know, we're not trying to judge people, but we got to make some sound judgments here. Amen. Why should we be able to do all these things? I want to give you a scripture in 1 Peter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near, and we're here. We're here. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit or sober-minded for the purpose of prayer. So in order for us to pray, amen, to begin to, for our prayers to be effective, you know, we got to be sound-minded in our thinking and in our judgment. We just don't want to be praying shotgun prayers, but we want to be praying kingdom prayers. We want to go into the throne room of God and pray to where it affects the earth. And that's what Jesus said in His word. He said, my will be done where in earth as it is in heaven. You know, we don't need to just be lollygagging alone and just saying, oh, it's not going to work. We got to believe and be purpose, you know, be intentional about what we're praying about and begin to speak the word of God and declare the word of God in our situation. And I believe God is going to begin to move like never before, you know, seeing miracles, signs and wonders. You know, we've seen a lot of miracles take place, but there are more to come. And I thank God that I'm just so excited about what God is doing. Why? Because I want to be that person with a sound mind, being able to make sound decisions and make sound judgments. My last scripture here that I want to give you here is found in Peter. And this is why we need to be sound-minded people. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a lion, like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So why do we need to be sober-minded? Because the enemy is coming. You know, Jesus said this in John 10 and 10, in St. John 10 and 10. He said, for the thief come to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So what we have to understand, church, is that we need to be sober spirit. We need to be sober in our mind to be able to make sound decisions and not be persuaded, you know, backed into a corner or become coward. But we're going to stand bold in this day. Why? Because God is beginning to burn in us, amen, that spiritual boldness, amen, that confidence in a true and living God. But let me go ahead and finish this in verse 9. He said, but resist him. And this is a twin scripture to James, but James says this way, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And notice what he said, resist him firm in your faith. Remember, Paul encouraged Timothy about being strong in his faith, you know, to stand in faith, you know, the sincere, the genuineness of his faith. We stand firm in our faith, amen? Because he said, resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. So we just wanted to share that with you today. Trust you got something out of it. And we thank God for what he's doing. You know, even though we can't sometimes, you know, we do get a little upset, a little disturbed because we can't come in and have live service. But I just want to encourage you, we will be coming back together, you know, and praying for that and just asking God to help us, you know, bring the numbers down in the county, you know, heal these people that has COVID, you know, and protect those, Lord God, you know, even those that are in the community and in this county. Let's just end with a prayer, amen, and then we'll wrap all this up. And just, again, we want to thank you for being with us. I trust that I said something to help you today, but let's just pray. Father, we thank you right now, Lord, and God, we just thank you so much, Lord, because you have not given us a spirit of fear, but you've given us a spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. And God, help us, Lord God, to be disciplined, even in this season that we're going through, Lord God, with so many things going on, Father. But God, we thank you, Lord God, that you are an anchor for our souls, Lord. You are an anchor for our minds, will, and emotions, Father. And God, we just pray for this community. We pray for this county, not only here, but God, we pray for the nations, Lord. And God, those that have been infected with this virus, Lord, we just pray for healing to be released, Lord God, in their bodies, to be manifested in their bodies. We pray that they would be healed in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just pray for your protection around those, Lord God, that are in the community. God, we just ask you to bring these numbers down, Father. And God, we pray, Father, that this will not only be, Lord God, just a pandemic, but God, let this be a wake-up call for your church, God, and for those that don't know you, Lord God, to begin to know you. We pray, God, that they will come to the saving knowledge of your Son. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name today, Lord God, that you would just keep us, Lord God. God, walk with us and be with us. We know that you are on the inside of us. You have empowered us and given us the ability to not be fearful, Lord. And God, we know that there is a fear, a healthy fear, which is reverent fear unto you, Father. But God, we pray, Lord God, we will not be intimidated by the enemy about what's taking place. But God, we stand firm in your word, Lord God, knowing that your word said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And God, we thank you for it today. And Lord, we bless your people, Lord. And God, as we depart from this place, but never your presence, watch over us and protect us in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.